Hey everyone, and welcome back. You know how much we love to really dig into a topic? And you all totally flooded the request line, asking us to do a deep dive on potato nutrition.
It seems like one of those things everyone has an opinion on, right?
Right, like potatoes good or bad? Delicious for sure, but good for you.
Well, get ready for some surprises, because these spuds are way more interesting than they might seem.
I gotta admit, when we put this topic list together, I was kind of like, potatoes, okay.
Yeah.
But then getting into the research.
Yeah, what did you think?
Honestly, blown away. Like, first of all, did you know potatoes are 77% water?
It's true. I mean, that's almost as high as watermelon.
No way. So all that talk about staying hydrated.
Exactly. Grab a potato. Okay, I'm kidding. But it does mean they contribute to that feeling of fullness, which is something we're always hearing about with healthy eating.
And I'm guessing all that other stuff in a potato can't be water, right?
Oh.
So what else is going on in there?
Well, about 20% is carbs, mainly in the form of starch. Now, before you jump on the carbs are bad train.
Which I was totally about to do.
Yeah. Hold on. It's crucial to remember it's not just the amount, but also the type of carbs that matter. Potatoes have these two kinds of starch, right? Amylose and amylopectin.
Okay, and those are...
So amylose is like this long straight chain of glucose molecules, while amylopectin is all branched out. This difference in their structures, believe it or not, actually affects how we digest them.
See, I was going to say, this is all very chemistry class right now. What's the connection to actually cooking with potatoes?
That's where it gets really cool. The ratio of amylose to amylopectin actually determines a potato's texture.
So that's why sometimes my mashed potatoes are amazing and sometimes...
Gloopy.
The worst.
It's all about that amylose to amylopectin ratio. Higher amylose potatoes are firmer, so they're great for salads or fries. But if you're looking for those light and fluffy mashed potatoes, you've got to go for varieties higher in amylopectin because they break down more during cooking.
So wait, are you saying there's a reason those russet potatoes are always labeled best for baking and mashing?
I wouldn't say it's a coincidence. All right, but moving on from carbs.
To the other macronutrients.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think you can distract me. We're going to cover it all. What about the protein and fat in potatoes?
So they are naturally lower in both protein and fat. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting you make potatoes your main protein source.
Right. You got to have that balance.
For sure. But to be fair, their protein content is actually pretty similar to other starchy vegetables and even some grains.
Interesting. Okay. So not a protein powerhouse, but still a decent amount. But what about the good stuff, the micronutrients, vitamins and minerals? What are we working with in a potato?
Now, that's where potatoes really start to shine. We're talking a surprising amount of essential vitamins. For starters, they're packed with vitamin B6. Like a single 100-gram serving that's about a third of a cup can give you a whopping 23% of your daily recommended intake.
23%? Seriously? For a potato?
I know, right? And B6 is crucial. It's not just some random vitamin we've never heard of.
Okay, good point. Remind me, though, what's so great about B6 again?
Brain health. It's a major player in cognitive function, mood regulation, the whole shebang. Like, it helps your body produce neurotransmitters like serotonin and dopamine.
Wait, serotonin, so like potatoes for happiness?
I mean, I wouldn't go that far.
Okay, but seriously, I had no idea. What else is hiding in these magical spuds?
Well, they've got a pretty good amount of vitamin C as well, about 16% of your daily value per 100 grams. Kind of cool to think about, right? Since we often eat potatoes in the winter alongside all those other vitamin C superstars like oranges and grapefruits.
It's like nature knew what it was doing. Okay, so B6, vitamin C. Anything else on the vitamin and mineral front?
So they do have smaller amounts of other B vitamins like thiamine, niacin, and pantothenic acid. These guys are all important for energy metabolism and keeping our cells humming along.
Little things, right?
Exactly. Now, minerals are where things get interesting. Potatoes aren't really a significant source of most minerals, except potassium.
Potassium. Isn't that the MVP electrolyte for athletes?
You got it. It's crucial for muscle function, helps keep those blood pressure numbers in check, and even supports healthy nerve function.
So after a tough workout, skip the sports drink, grab a potato.
Well, maybe not entirely, but you get the idea. And a 100-gram serving of potato, it's packing about 379 milligrams of potassium.
Okay, so to recap, we've got a good source of water, carbs, vitamin B6, vitamin C, and potassium. And we're just getting started.
All right, I'm ready for more potato wisdom. But we can't talk about potatoes and nutrition without addressing the elephant in the room, the glycemic index.
The GI, right.
Potatoes have a bit of a reputation when it comes to GI, right? Like, aren't they high GI?
That's a really good point, and it's something a lot of people wonder about, especially since we keep hearing how important it is to watch our blood sugar.
Exactly. So are potatoes friend or foe when it comes to the glycemic index?
Well, like most things nutrition, it's not so black and white. It's true that some potatoes have a higher GI than others, but there are a lot of factors at play. The variety of potato makes a difference, and maybe even more important is how you cook it.
Okay, so my baked potato isn't the same as, say, a big plate of French fries in terms of GI.
You got it. Boiling a potato is usually going to give you a lower GI compared to frying.
Interesting. So cooking method matters. What about different types of potatoes?
Yeah, some varieties are naturally lower in GI. Charisma potatoes, for example, they tend to have a lower GI than russet potatoes.
So it's all about being informed and making those smart choices.
Right. It's not about cutting out potatoes completely. It's about understanding the nuances. Like if you're watching your blood sugar, maybe opt for a lower GI variety or try a different cooking method.
Makes sense. And there's always more research being done, right? I mean, what's the latest on potatoes and things like obesity or diabetes?
Definitely. Ongoing research is so important in nutrition. But for now, the current evidence doesn't show a clear link between moderate potato consumption and those issues. It really seems to be about the bigger picture, our overall diet and lifestyle.
Right. Like it's not just one single food that makes or breaks a healthy diet.
Exactly. It's about balance and making informed choices.
Speaking of choices, this is a question that's probably plagued me since childhood. Why don't we eat raw potatoes? I mean, we eat carrots and celery raw, even peppers, but never potatoes.
Uh-huh. I love this question. It's so true, isn't it? And it actually highlights a couple of important things about potatoes. The first thing is that raw potato starch is actually kind of hard for us to digest.
Wait, really? Why is that?
Well, we humans, we don't have the right enzymes to break down raw potato starch as easily as when it's cooked. So eating potatoes raw can sometimes lead to digestive issues.
Oh, so that's why I used to get stomach aches after sneaking raw potato slices as a kid. I always thought I was just weird.
Uh-huh. Nope, not weird at all. It's actually pretty common. But there's another reason, and this one's important to be aware of. It has to do with a naturally occurring toxin found in potatoes called solanine.
Solanine. Okay, now that sounds a little scary. Tell me more.
It's not as bad as it sounds, as long as you're careful. Basically, solanine is like a natural defense mechanism that potatoes have. And you tend to find higher concentrations of it in green potatoes and also in those little sprouts that potatoes sometimes get.
Oh, right. Green potatoes. Those are the ones that have been sitting out in the light too long, right?
That's exactly it. When potatoes are exposed to light, they create chlorophyll, which is what gives them that green color. But along with the chlorophyll, they also produce more solanine. It's like their way of trying to protect themselves from insects.
So that's why we're always told to store potatoes in a cool, dark place. It's not just about keeping them fresh. It's about preventing that solanine from forming.
You got it. Storing your potatoes properly is key. And another crucial step is to always peel off any green parts before you cook them, just to be extra safe.
Okay, that makes sense. But let's say, hypothetically speaking, someone accidentally eats a potato with a bit more solanine than usual. What happens?
Good question. So solanine poisoning is something to be aware of, but it's not a reason to swear off potatoes entirely. The symptoms are usually pretty mild things like nausea, maybe some vomiting or diarrhea. In really rare cases, though, if someone was exposed to a very high level of solanine, it could potentially even cause some neurological symptoms, but that's unusual.
Okay, good to know. It's usually not too serious.
Oh. Okay.
So bottom line is, as long as we're storing our potatoes right, cutting off any green bits, and just using common sense, we should be good.
Exactly. It's really all about making informed choices. Knowing a little more about the different kinds of potatoes, how the way we cook them affects things like the glycemic index, remembering to minimize that solanine, all of that helps us enjoy potatoes as part of a healthy diet.
You know, I thought this was going to be a pretty simple deep dive, I have to admit. I figured we'd be done in like 5 minutes. Potatoes, they're good for you. The end.
Right.
But there's so much more to it.
They're really fascinating when you get down to it. It's like potatoes are proof that we should never judge a food by its, well,
skin.
Exactly. It's all about looking beyond those assumptions and appreciating the complexity of even the simplest foods, you know?
Absolutely. This has totally changed how I see potatoes. And on that note, any parting advice for our listeners? What's your personal favorite way to prepare potatoes? Got to maximize those health benefits.
You know, for me, it's hard to beat a simple baked potato. You can do so much with them flavor-wise, and baking really helps keep all those good nutrients locked in. But at the end of the day, the best way to eat a potato is the way you enjoy it most. As long as you're incorporating them into a balanced diet, that's what matters.
I love that. So to everyone listening, get out there, Have fun in the kitchen and find what potato dishes make you excited about healthy eating. And until next time, happy cooking.